Nosair may in fact have been a bit unbalanced, but he was no loner, and he had been preparing himself for the killing for many months. He studied weaponry and tactics, using official U.S. Army manuals and other sensitive documents that his friend Ali Mohammed, a sergeant at Fort Bragg, the home of the U.S. Special Operations Command in North Carolina, brought him on weekend visits. Together with several others from the Farouk Mosque on Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, where he worshipped, he was working on his marksmanship. In the spring and summer of 1989, the group would meet early in the morning and drive out on the Long Island Expressway to the Calverton shooting range on eastern Long Island. Mohammed Salama was there, as were Nidal Ayad and Clement Hampton L., an African-American hospital worker who had converted to Islam. Many wore the same T-shirt in black or gray. On the top was printed, "Help each other in goodness and piety," and on the bottom, "A Muslim to a Muslim is a brick wall." In the middle was printed, "Services Office," along with a map of a country with Afghanistan written in the center. Mahmoud Abu Halima, Mahmoud the Red as he was called because of his hair, sported a National Rifle Association cap. The group brought with them a small arsenal, rifles, shotguns, 9mm and 357 caliber handguns, and AK-47 assault weapons. Ali Mohammed gave pointers. The men were training for jihad, Islamic holy war. In 1989, most of the world understood jihad to mean what was written on the men's T-shirts, Afghanistan, the fight against the Soviet Union. By the time Nosair was visiting the firing range, the Soviet Union had been defeated, though fighting continued against the communist regime in Kabul. But to Nosair and his friends, jihad was more than that. It meant, as he wrote in a notebook, attacking all those who waged war against Allah and His Messenger, who should be murdered or crucified, or their feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or they should be exiled from the land. Killing Kahana, he would later boast, was an act of jihad, one in which God the Almighty enabled His extremely brave people, with His great power, to destroy one of the top infidels. But Nosair had another, even more breathtaking vision of jihad. Written in a notebook of his, it called for the breaking and destruction of the enemies of Allah. And this is by means of destroying, exploding, the structure of their civilized pillars, such as the touristic infrastructure which they are proud of, and their high world buildings which they are proud of, and their statues which they endear, and the buildings which gather their heads, their leaders, and without any announcement for our responsibility of Muslims for what had been done. El Sayed Nosair inaugurated the age of sacred terror with an assassination of a bit player on the world stage, an act wholly uncharacteristic of everything that would follow. But he wrote down the idea for its defining event, the attacks of September 11th and the destruction of the World Trade Center, no later than 1990. The notion of destroying the Twin Towers was almost certainly not Nosair's. The whole speech in which the passage is found was likely something he copied. The language and the horrific grandeur of the imagery mark it as the idea of a man Nosair telephoned regularly in Egypt to apprise him of his group's jihad training, and whom he then helped settle in the United States in 1990, Sheikh Omar Ahwad Abdel Rahman. The Blind Sheikh, as he is also known, a cleric revered among Islamist radicals for providing the religious authorization to assassinate Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, had slipped out of Egypt to Sudan in 1990. There, the consular section of the U.S. Embassy mistakenly issued him a visa, even though his name was on a watch list. He arrived in America in July of that year and became the central figure of the burgeoning jihadist set in New York and northern New Jersey.